Hey everyone, welcome back to the Jamie Star Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode. So my guest is a musical theater actress who has performed in shows such as Legally Blonde and Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. My guest today is Becca Andrews. Is Mamma Mia a show that has always had a special place in your heart?
Oh my gosh, yes. I love Mamma Mia. It's so fun to do. I don't know, I think... Ask the majority of the people who have done Mamma Mia if they're having fun while they're doing it. Because I certainly have fun while I'm doing it.
Uh-huh.
I think that that music just kind of radiates joy. And I think that, I don't know, the combination of the ABBA music with just kind of the like whimsical storytelling of this like girl trying to find her dad. It's just fun.
It's so fun. Plus there's going to be a new national tour going out later this year. So
yes, yes. I'm very excited to see what that tour brings. I don't know. I just think it's such a fun show. It's kind of, it's just like bubblegum musical theater, feel good musical theater, which we love sometimes.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
Prior to knowing that Mamma Mia existed, did you know ABBA existed, or did you just discover both of them at the same time?
Yeah, I loved ABBA as a kid. I really loved kind of music from the 60s and 70s and 80s when I was a kid. So I did love ABBA, and then I really loved A-Teens. Did you ever hear about the A-Teens? That might be really showing my age right now, but A-Teens was this little group that would cover ABBA songs, and they would like play on the Disney Channel, and they were also super cute. But I loved ABBA music growing up.
That's fat. I've never heard of the A-Teens, and I've watched the Disney Channel religiously as a kid.
You gotta go look up the A-Teens. They were just, man, the 90s and the 2000s were a great time for, like, bands. Like, girl bands, boy bands. And they were just in the mix of just those really adorable little teen bands that were just feel-good music.
I kind of wish I was older in the 2000s to appreciate all that kind of stuff.
I know. You gotta go look them up when we're done.
Because I was born in 2001.
Oh, great. Awesome.
So, I really didn't know what the heck was going on back in those times.
Listen, you know, now is a good time for music, too. But, man, the late 90s, early 2000s were prime for music, especially bands.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I was watching Mean Girls last night, and the music in that movie screams early 2000s.
Yes, definitely. Good soundtrack there.
Oh, 100%. So back to Mamma Mia, what was the most fun part about that production for you?
I mean, I've done it twice, and I think the most fun part of doing that show in both productions, but I really loved kind of the camaraderie in the cast and, you know, I didn't actually get my own bachelorette party because my wedding was kind of pushed and canceled and kind of all over the place because of the pandemic. So mm-hmm. I really enjoyed having the fake bachelorette party. That was really fun and a good experience for me. And also kind of living vicariously through Sophie to kind of go through some of the fun, like, wedding things that I didn't actually do in real life.
Yeah.
So I think, like, the fun times with all the ladies in both of those productions were really, really special.
Did you ever get FOMO from, like, Donna and the Dynamos during that mega mix at the end? Do you ever wish that you were one of those girls in those cool outfits jamming out?
Oh, yeah. But I thoroughly believe that if you have ever played Sophie, your time will come to play Donna. And I definitely think that that's about 10 years away from me. And I'll get my spandex moment. I know it. I'll get it someday.
Yeah, because that mega mix is just everything.
It's a blast. It's a blast.
It like has paved the way for mega mixes and musicals.
Mm-hmm. We love a mega mix.
Yeah. Speaking of just regular jukebox musicals, are you a fan of jukebox musicals?
I am. I might be getting to do one on the horizon. Dun, dun, dun. There might be one coming up for me.
That's cool. Yeah. I like them too. I've seen a few of them.
Yeah, and I really like them. Yeah, I think they're great. I think you know, some are probably better than others, but I do think there is something to be said about music that everybody knows and everybody loves. And I think one of the greatest things about kind of doing these jukebox musicals, especially at regional theaters and on Broadway, but at regional theaters, you're kind of like touching the audiences of people that maybe can't come to New York, that can't like afford to come to New York, or don't have the ability mm-hmm. to, you know, see Broadway shows. You're kind of bringing this music that they can, that speaks to them and that they can relate to these pockets of the country. And I think that that's my favorite thing about theater, is it kind of like brings everybody together. And I think that music that people know into a musical is a great kind of segue for people that aren't necessarily musical people to kind of, you know, learn to love it.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah. What kind of jukebox musicals do you like better? Like the audio biographical ones, or like the ones like Mamma Mia and Dragon Little Pill and shows like that?
That's a great question. I think the autobiographical ones are pretty cool, because I think musicians are fascinating. And I think that learning more about kind of the life of somebody who is considered to be a legend is really, really cool, especially as a musical theater actor, kind of putting yourself in the shoes of somebody who maybe was a songwriter, is an artist in a different way, I think is a really neat thing. But I also, you know, I do love Mamma Mia and I do love Jagged Little Pill. So,
have you ever seen the Cher show? Like with, when it comes to the jukebox audio biographical ones, because that is a great example of a great, jukebox musical.
Totally. Totally. I totally think that that is a great example as well. I think just kind of, getting to see the music that we all know and love, like through the eyes of the person that created it, I think is really, really cool.
Yeah. And the way they weaved it in too, mm-hmm. like they talked about her being a half breed. So they sang Half Breed. The opening number was Turn Back Time. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
Cause there's those other ones where it's like they bust out into a hit song and they go back to the story.
Right. Right. Yeah. I definitely think like Beautiful does a great job with a jukebox musical, in a sense of like kind of seeing this whole backstory of how a lot of these songs that we know and love were created. I think it's really, really special.
I missed Beautiful. Omicron.
Oh, yeah. Well, don't worry. Every regional theater on the planet is doing it this summer, so maybe you'll get to see it somewhere.
Hopefully, yeah.
Yeah.
Would you ever be down for Mamma Mia 2 to ever become a musical? Because, I mean, they have, like, Love Never Dies and they from Phantom of the Opera, and, like, Mamma Mia is just as, like, kind of popular. Would you ever consider, like, would you be interested in either seeing or being a part of Mamma Mia 2 as a musical if it was?
Oh, yeah. I'm down for anything. I think, yeah, anything that's kind of, you know, in that fun, like, bubblegum musical theater world like I was talking about, I'm super down to see or be a part of.
Yeah, when I was coming up with these questions, I'm like, Mamma Mia 2 is a musical, please.
Yeah, I would see it.
Have you seen Mamma Mia 2, the movie?
Yes, I have. I think I saw it on a plane, actually. Yeah, super fun, super cute. What's not to love?
It was great.
You just gotta go into it knowing what it is. You know what I mean? It's like, it's understand what it is and appreciate it for that.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure. Has Legally Blonde always been one of your favorite films?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Legally Blonde runs through my veins. And the movie is incredible. And Reese Witherspoon is like one of my heroes. So I love the movie so much.
Yeah. Great movie.
Yes.
Is Elle Woods a challenging role to take on musical theater wise?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely challenging in the best way. I think it is one of those roles that combines everything that I love about performing. It combines, you know, really fantastic music with fun dancing and really a really good story and a lot of female empowerment, which I'm always here for.
Same.
Yeah.
Before Legally Blonde, was pink a signature color for you?
Yes. Oh my God. Yes. I love pink. I still love pink. I would wear pink if I wasn't such a New Yorker. I think I would wear pink way more often, but you know, you move to the city and immediately they give you an all black wardrobe. So that's just the way it is. No, but I love pink.
What are some of your favorite Legally Blonde songs, AKA some of the catchiest songs in musical theater?
Oh, okay. I love Whipped Into Shape. I never get sick of watching it. I never get sick of singing it from the wings. I love Whipped Into Shape. I also love the Legally Blonde remix. That song is just, it's everything. It's just everything.
Mm-hmm.
And
I like the remix better than the other one, than the ballad.
Yeah, the ballad's great too. I should probably pick one in Act One too. But I mean, What You Want is also fun. I love them all.
I think I like the Legally Blonde remix better than I like Legally Blonde the ballad, honestly. The ballad,
yeah, definitely. Oh, well, I mean, you can't beat that. The Vivian and the Vivian Brooke Enid trio that comes in at the end. It's just, ooh, nothing could make me want to kick ass more than that. That little trio at the end busting through those doors. Ooh.
Oh, it's so great.
So great.
If you could play any other of the Legally Blonde principal roles, whether it's Enid or Vivian or Margot or Pillar, whoever, who would you want to play?
Okay, that is a great question. And I'm going to go Kiki the Colorist. Kiki the Colorist, who comes in and says, works every time. That is my dream. I want to walk on stage during Bend and Snap, and I want to stand in the center, and I want to say, works every time, and do the Bend and Snap. Kiki the Colorist. I stand by my answer.
I love it. Ben and Snap's a great song, too.
It's a great song. It's a great song.
And it's catchy.
Yep.
Do you agree? Do you think that Legally Blonde has some of the catchiest music in musical theater?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a success for a reason. The music is to die for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What was the first Broadway show you ever saw in New York City?
Okay, so it wasn't, I mean, I guess you... It was technically off-Broadway, but it was the Rent revival with Annalee Ashford.
Ooh.
Yes. That was, I mean, I'm going to go ahead and count that. It was at New World Stages. That, and then I saw the same week, I saw Follies with Bernadette Peters. But little fun story, my first Broadway show was supposed to be Spring Awakening. My dad was going to take me to New York for my 16th birthday. And there was actually a stagehand strike.
Ooh.
During the week. There was this big stagehand strike, and I think it lasted a couple weeks. It lasted long enough for us to not be able to reschedule our trip.
Oh, wow.
And so one of my friends was like, you know what you should do when you get there to New York? You should go to the stage door, and you might be able to meet the cast, because the cast still has to go to the stage door and sign in, even though they're not performing the shows. Like, all the shows were dark. I think there were maybe two that were still on. And so I went to the stage door of Spring Awakening, and sure enough, the entire cast was there. And John Gallagher Jr. told me to come back the next night and that he would bring his guitar. And I came back the next night, and the entire Spring Awakening cast sang me like four or five songs from the show with John Gallagher Jr.'s guitar on the sidewalk. And it was the coolest thing that's ever happened.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. And I'm so mad. The only footage I have from it, you know, this was a long time ago, so I have this like cheap little camera, like mm-hmm. a digital camera. And I took videos on that, but I have no idea where it is. If it still exists anywhere, but I don't have any of the footage, but I have it burned in my memory, and it was fantastic. So that was supposed to be the first one.
That's so cool. Who else was in that? Was it like when Jonathan Groff and Leah Michelle and all them were still in it too?
Yeah, they were still in it, but Jonathan and Leah weren't there that night. John Gallagher Jr. was there. Oh my God. Skylar was there.
Oh, good one.
Jen. Oh, how do you say her last name? It starts with a D. She was in Next to Normal. Anyway, she was there. She's a star. Who else was there? A lot of really incredible people that have gone on to do incredible things were there. But I think I geeked out the most about John Gallagher Jr.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's really cool. I mean, having your own first private Broadway show.
Yeah, it was really, really cool. It was really special.
Not a lot of people can say they had their own private Broadway show.
I know.
On a sidewalk.
Yeah, and this was cool too. That same night after we did that, my dad and I went to go eat at some random restaurant in Hell's Kitchen, and we sat next to Shoshana Bean and Jen Gambetese, and then they at some point turned around and I said hi to them, and I was like, oh, I love you both so much, and they talked to us for a little while. So it was a really cool experience, even though I was devastated about the stagehand strike. I still got a lot of
You had to see Bernadette Peters. You had to see Annalee Ashford. You got to see...
That was on a separate trip.
Oh, that was on a separate trip? Yeah, oh!
Three kind of New York moments for me. My first time I came to New York, I was 9, and I was auditioning for The Little Princess on Broadway. That was the very first time. I didn't even have time to see a Broadway show because we had to fly back.
Mm-hmm.
So I had my audition, and then I left. And then I came when I was 16, supposed to see Spring Awakening, Stagehand Strike, and then I came when I was in college, and that's when I saw Rent and Follies.
I was like, wait, was that all on the same trip? I don't know if off-Broadway was still going on when the Stagehand Strike was going on, because, off-Broadway, you know what I mean?
Yes, no, it was pretty, it was pretty bleak. I think the only things that were open we, couldn't afford tickets to or something like that, I don't remember.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw Jen Gambetese as Miranda Hillard in Mrs. Doubtfire, and she was and she was great.
She's amazing.
And her husband was a huge part of my childhood. He was on, one of my favorite shows when I was growing up, too.
Oh, that's so sweet.
So, yeah, it was kind of cool seeing. And plus, she played the ex-wife of Rob McClure. So, that was... I still wish, kind of wish she won the Tony for that. So, would you ever want to go on tour again? I know you did the Rudolph National Tour.
Yeah.
And that was just a short and sweet little tour. Would you ever want to go on tour again and do a longer contract and tour the country a little more?
Definitely. I am such a yes girl when it comes to this industry and when it comes to my career. I love changing things up and switching things up, and I love any new challenge, and so I would be totally down to go on a tour. I love traveling. I love seeing different areas of the country, like I was saying too, about the beauty of doing regional theater. And I think the touring is the same thing. You get to kind of bring theater to these pockets of our country that don't necessarily they're not necessarily filled with people that can afford to come and see anything in New York. And so I think it's super important, and oh my God, I would love to be a part of a tour.
Yeah. Plus, especially with regional theater, there's all these small theaters in different parts of the country and cities you never even knew existed.
I know. It's amazing. I'm so grateful for it, especially as a kid who was in love with this at a very early age. I don't know what I would have done without being able to see theater all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was playing at the Muni nerve-wracking for you because it's such an iconic place?
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I mean, yes, it's cool because, it feels a little bit like you're performing at a baseball stadium. And so it is a little nerve-wracking, but it's also really fun and really cool because the audience feels a little far away. So it's both. But yeah, one of my favorite places to perform for sure.
Have you only done the Muni once?
Twice.
Oh, what was the...
No, three times. Three? Oh my God, three times. Yeah.
Three, because I know you were there this past summer.
Mm-hmm. So I did Joseph this past summer, and then I did Joseph 10 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And then I also did Grease there in 2014.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I did watch the videos of Joseph from this past summer. It looked so cool.
Oh my God. Can you even? It was so good. It was such a good production. Just star studded and phenomenal.
It looked so phenomenal.
Direction, phenomenal performers. I mean, everything about it was just really, really magical.
It looked magical.
Yeah.
This is a fun random question that I think is kind of cool. If you could get cast in a musical where your character has parents that are present in the show, it could be a musical that exists or doesn't exist, What Broadway A-listers would you want to play your parents in the musical?
That is a great question. That's a great question. I think I want my mother to be played by Jinx Monsoon. Yeah, I'm sticking with that answer. And then I think I would want my father to be played by... Jinx Monsoon is my mom.
Isn't Jinx Monsoon in Chicago right now?
She sure is. She's an icon. She's one of my favorite performers on the entire planet Earth. Okay, so Jinx Monsoon is my mom, and I think my dad is gonna be Hugh Jackman.
I love it.
Yeah, I think that's just the way it is, and I'll try not to fall into his eyes. I make no promises, though.
Do you predict more gender-bent musicals returning to the stage after the success of Company?
Yeah. That's a great... Yeah. I'd be down. I think gender-bent shows are super fun, and I love any sort of fresh, new, and exciting take on something that we have seen before, or like a creative twist on a show. Yeah, I'm so down for any and all.
Yeah, still patiently waiting for a female version of Dear Evan Hansen.
Oh, yeah.
Of Evan being played by a girl.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
What?
I also know I've had a couple people that have mentioned, like, two women in the last 5 years. I think that would also be really cool. Two women or two men or two humans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. I definitely want to see, like, more, like, that are, like, male, like, led to be female led. Don't you think? Mm,
definitely. Yes, 100%.
What singer do you think should have a jukebox musical next, whether it's autobiographical or just, like, a story, like, you know, using their music?
Mm-hmm. Ooh, the Chicks.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm, you know... a huge country music fan.
Me too.
And, I think the Chicks could write an amazing musical, and I'd love to see kind of, yeah, like a female-led creative team involved in it somehow.
Yeah.
I don't know what the story would be, but I don't know if it'd be about them or if it would be about something else, but the Chicks.
It'd be cool to see, like, a musical on how the Chicks became the Chicks.
Yeah. Or honestly, their newest album, Gaslighter, was so great. I think, like, that album alone could be its own musical.
That's cool.
Yeah.
What is your go-to karaoke jam session song?
Ooh. I would say, Why'd You Come In Here Looking Like That, Dolly Parton?
Ooh.
Or anything, any good Shania Twain song.
Oh, good one.
Yeah. But it's got to be up tempo. No ballads at karaoke. No ballads.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Any Man of Mine?
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Or the Don't Impress Me. I don't know what the song is called.
Yes. Don't Impress Me Much. That's a great one. Honey, I'm Home. Whose Bed Have Your Boots Been Under? All of those are bangers.
Are you predicting Dolly Parton's future coming soon rock album to be awesome? Because I am.
Yeah. That's also, yeah, 100%.
Did you see her thing at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction, the performance?
Yes. She's amazing. The fact that her voice still sounds crystal clear when she sings is fantastic. She's amazing.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
And when she sang with Miley on New Year's Eve, that was amazing.
Yeah, that was pretty epic.
What is your guilty pleasure?
Survivor.
Ooh.
Survivor is my favorite TV show. It's my favorite thing. It's my sport. It's my guilty pleasure. I mean, I don't feel guilty about it, but it's if you want to get me talking about something that I'm super obsessed with, it's Survivor.
Love
talk it. About it all day.
What's your favorite TV theme song?
Oh my God, that's a great question. My favorite TV theme song. Probably Full House. That's a banger.
Oh, yeah.
Look everywhere you look. That's a good one.
Full House the musical. That would be...
Oh my God. I can't even imagine. You know what? John Stamos was my first crush. That was my first ever, like, celebrity crush.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
After, when you started singing them, I'm like, Full House the Musical would be a dream.
Yeah.
What is a fun fact that not a lot of people know about you?
A fun fact? I mean, I feel like I'm a pretty wear my heart on my sleeve kind of gal, put it out there kind of gal. Everybody who knows me knows everything about me. No, you know what is something that a lot of people probably wouldn't know about me is that I'm a good writer.
Oh,
I'm a good writer, and I've been writing a book over the past couple of years, kind of off and on. I don't know if anything will ever come of it, but I think it's going to take me a couple more years to finish it, but I'm a very good writer.
I love that.
Yeah.
Once again, I've been speaking with actress Becca Andrews. I will see you all in my next episode, where I'm chatting with Chelsea Cree Groen from the national tour of Wicked and the national tour of Hello, Dolly.